Praise the Lord. Thank you, Gary. Wow. Thank you, Evan, for leading us into the throne room. Almost hate to have any announcements in the dull of what's going on, right? But anyway, we're glad to be here. Thank you, John and Sarah and Evan and Kristen, for inviting us. Just a quickie about Zoe, since you got us started here. Yes, we're involved in a ministry called Zoe Ministries International. And it's interesting, as we read your website, do you know what your website vision statement says? Train, equip, nurture, accelerate, and then release. That's disciple making. We have a similar vision. Our vision is to train and equip and send out, and we do it by a series of courses, as Gary mentioned, on hearing, training people to hear, know, and follow God's voice. So it's all about. They're discipleship classes. I'll just briefly mention, they're facilitator-led. They're not taught. So the facilitators get everybody involved. That's why you make disciples, right? Every course, the students get a study guide that lists everything for the class, plus a textbook. The leader also gets a facilitator's manual to go with their materials. Every course is that way. There's some 14 courses. They're all 12 weeks long. I shouldn't say that. 12 of them are 14 weeks long, and then we have three more that are 6 weeks. Little entry things. Who is Jesus? Who is the Father? Who is the Holy Spirit? So, that's what we're about. Yes, God is doing things. It's amazing to see what's happening in Kenya. Church of 7,000 has been running Zoe courses now for 3 or 4 years. Hundreds and hundreds have gone through. It's God, right? Isn't that what we want? We were reminded the other day of a scripture in John 7 when he says, "You can do nothing without me. I'm the vine and you're just the branches." It's a good recollection. So, we're glad to be here. Let me introduce my little honey.
Thank you. Well, buenas noches. Buenas, ¿cómo está? Muy bien. That's all I know. Adios. 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 Spanish to you. I haven't gotten it. We've lived there 10 years. But you know what? They love us in spite of ourselves. Really, we love Spain. And if you smile, you love, you embrace, they smile back. And they love you and embrace you. There are no cultural barriers. If you are just willing to be open, humbled, and smile and give kisses.
Two, yeah.
Yep, two. I restrained myself today. I just hugged. But normally you get two kisses. We do want to thank those that have invited us, or especially Gary and Nancy. I'm just going to move a little closer. I don't like standing too far away. I hope that's okay. Gary and Nancy have been friends for a long time. I was deeply touched by your sharing tonight, Gary. We have a staff in Colorado and several other women. One works out of Oregon. And Gary has volunteered his time, his talents, and his gifting to help us with our IT stuff. We are totally illiterate when it comes to IT. Gary knows that, and we know that. We came home from Spain, and I came home not seeing because my eyesight had changed, and my computer didn't work. And so Dick took it to Gary, and his faithful workers took my computer and built it up. And in the meantime, I got my glasses, and I couldn't see. I still can't see. I cannot see to read. And I'm going, that's very crippling because I read. And then I opened up my computer, and it didn't work. And I go, oh, no, 2 for 2. I'm not batting very well. And Dick says, I'm going to take it back to Gary. Gary fixed it, and I opened up yesterday, and it was like, glory, hallelujah. I can reach people. And we do a lot of Skype calls to different nations and to different people. So we need our computer. We need the gift that Gary and Nancy have given to us. They've supported it prayerfully, generously in other ways. Nancy, bless her heart, she is such an artist, and I know you all know that, but I brag on her in Spain and to friends. And she was willing to take our little three granddaughters that visited 2 years ago from Kazakhstan and said, okay, I'll help you to try to teach you how to paint. Well, the one I thought was the artist was bored stiff, but the one that was really surprised me, she really grasped. And she took her time, and I thought, oh, she's a brave soul. She said, I love working with children. I said, well, I'll wait till they're a little older next time. She spent a lot of time and love nurturing them. You know, that is what a Christian's about. Loving and giving of their times and their gifts. And we are so thankful for this couple as well. They've inputted into our lives a lot. And now we get to meet some of you. And it's a great joy. I also want to thank all the pastors and leaders to allowing us to come and share our hearts. I also want to introduce a woman that has worked with us in the ministry for over 20 years. She works with Ann Alexander. She comes all the way from South Denver tonight to join us. We have had the privilege of being used by God to develop these materials, and Anne has helped put it in publishing form, and she knows our hearts, so if I goof up, she'll call me and say, is this what you mean? I'll say no, and she'll get it right. And she knows our heart, and I know her heart, and we've been through so much together. Truly given her for her time and talents. Just give. It doesn't matter. Serve. And she has done so, and she knows that I appreciate her and could not do the work that we're doing outside of the States. And June, just recently, she was part of Zoe years ago, and recently the Lord has brought her back on staff. June. So they decided to join us tonight. Tonight I'm wanting to share about, of course, hearing God's voice. That's our flagship. But you know, I have to admit, it's not about programs, it's not about methods anymore. It's about relationship. It's about a passionate love affair with Jesus Christ. We've come and gone into the States over the last 11 years, and we have seen the church in general become complacent, become involved with methods, and have lost the point of relationship and passion. And I have to say, I come back and I cry. I cry. I say, God, your people need to be awakened, because I'm sorry, I get excited. You'll have to, I don't speak Spanish well, but I do talk fast, so please forgive me. But it is a passion in God's heart to raise up the bride of Christ, the remnant, to pour out his spirit, to hear his voice, to have spiritual ears and spiritual eyes in these times. Now we are seeing, we've been in Spain 11 years, we are seeing a breakthrough in Spain. It's the valley, I mean, it was known the country of for missionaries, dead missionaries. Now we are seeing a breakthrough between the Catholic and the evangelicals. The Catholics and the evangelicals are starting to meet together. This is breaking history. We're in the year of the 500 year of the Reformation. And they are beginning to take note, and we are seeing a breakthrough. Our son there has been there 24 years, and he is beginning to see God pour out his spirit, and people started to work to complete each other for the kingdom rather than to compete. So we are excited what God is doing. You know, God said in John 14, verse 12, he said, the truth is that anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father, and he's going to send us the Holy Spirit. Now, I love churches that allow the Holy Spirit to move, and I believe your church does. Yes. Amen? Yes. You know what? Now, we kind of, if you feel comfortable, we kind of like response. You can say, amen. That means I agree. oh my, well, I have to think about that. Or, oh me, where's she coming from? So when I say, amen, you can say, oh my, or, oh me. So we believe in seeing God by His Spirit move. You know, if you have a church that just teaches the Word, it dries up. But if you have a church that flows with the Spirit, you puff up. But when you have the Spirit and the Word, you grow up. And I understand this is what's happening in your church. You allow the Spirit of God to move and minister, as I understand it, is at an amen or maybe, oh me. Okay. So we are going to see God and by His Spirit if He wants to and if you want to minister. Okay? So we are going to talk a little about hearing God's voice. And then I also believe if we have time, we're going to talk about spiritual eyes. Do we have spiritual eyes for these times? Do we understand what God is doing in the Spirit? Are eyes keen, wide open to the things of the Spirit? Over the last several years, God has really put a passion and a desire in our heart that continues to grow and has given us a series of teachings on bridal walk, bridal talk, bridal purity, bridal dress. The Holy Spirit is a handmaiden that's getting the bride ready for the bridegroom. The Holy Spirit knows what looks good on the bride. So she is preparing the bride for the bridegroom, the church. Amen? And God is really desiring to see a passionate bride that is full of fire. And fire of the Holy Ghost. Amen? And then He wants to stir us up. And but like we all walk away like Jeremiah. The Word of God is like a fire in my... And I cannot
contain it,
by the way. Happy birthday. It's her birthday today. I told you. Let's all wish her a happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear
Brenda.
Happy birthday. And many more. If you know what Jeremiah 20 verse 9, you know something. Pardon me?
I said a thing or two about a thing or two.
Okay, a thing or two about a thing or two. So let's talk about listening to God's voice. You know, from Genesis 1 to the maps, God is a communicating God. You see God speaking in Genesis 1. God spoke. And we see over and over that God is speaking. Then as early as chapter 3 of Genesis, we know what happens. The enemy comes to Eve and Adam and says, did God really say? Right in the beginning, the enemy challenged us, mankind, do you really believe God speaks to you? And I believe that's what's been going on ever since. When the ministry started about 35 years ago, when we talked about hearing God's voice, I mean literally, people thought we were crazy. They thought we were some kind of a cult with the name Zoe. By the way, Zoe is Greek for life. I've come that you might have life. And so now you have books and things about, and videos and teachings about hearing God's voice. It is imperative that we hear God's voice in these times. We see that God desires to take people like He did Israel to Himself and have relationship. God created man for relationship, love responding to love. But man chose not to be in that relationship. Man fell. Then God set apart through Abraham in Genesis 12. He says, I want a nation of holy people, people that will be my treasured possession, who I can call my very own, who I can communicate with so that they can see me, they can hear me. They did. Israel saw and they heard God. But guess what? They didn't want to hear and they didn't want to see. And this had to break the Father's heart, because He desires beloved relationship. He desires that we go into fellowship with Him. Recently, I've been studying a great deal in Hebrew and Aramaic. And I'm just studying. My husband gave me some teachings. I'm learning more and more about the heart of God. I'm telling you, we haven't even touched the surface about God's desire and God's hearts for us in these times. Amen. Honey, I saw you walk in, and I thought, do you mind? Okay. And I took one look at you, and I went, oh my, you have a super sensitive heart, a very compassionate heart, a very sensitive heart. I believe maybe you hold back a little. But God says, honey, I'm bringing you forward. I'm going to cause you to bloom like the most fragrant flower that I have in my garden. Allow me to work through you, and you're going to be amazed at what I'm going to do in and through you. You have a sensitivity that God can really work in to bring hurting people to the kingdom of God. Can I hug you?
Thank you.
So God wants fellowship. God desired fellowship. And we can go through time and time again scriptures that speaks of God's desire for man to have fellowship. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Psalms 81. And as we read Psalm 81, I want you to put your heart in God's heart, if you can, or understand these scriptures as if God is speaking to you personally and His desire for you. And Psalm 81, verse 9. God is talking to the nation of Israel. And He says this. I'll see if I can try. Hear, O my people, and I will warn you, if you would but listen to me, O Israel. You shall have no foreign gods among you, and you shall not bow down to an alien god. I am the Lord your God, and I brought you out of Egypt. Open wide your mouth, and I will fill it. But my people would not listen to me. If you were to look at this scripture a little, the two words, hear and listen, you would find that in the Hebrew it means the exact same thing. It means, give me your undivided attention. When a person gets up and shares the gospel or shares their heart with you, they're praying that you're giving that or giving the Holy Spirit your undivided attention. God wants your undivided attention. He said, I want you to just turn and listen and hear what I have to say to you. And so let's go on. Sorry. Anne, would you read verse 9? And I'm sorry about through verse 14, please.
Okay, you've already read down to 10.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Do you want to do it again?
No, just pick up from.
Okay. But my people would not listen to me, Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own devices. If my people would but listen to me, if Israel would follow my ways, how quickly would I subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes?
Is there more to it? God is crying out. He says, if you would but listen to me, but you're not to have any foreign gods. Open wide your mouth. He says, remember how I took you out of Egypt? He said, open wide your mouth and I'll fill it. I'll give you provision. But my people would not listen to me. They would not give me their undivided attention. Now, we lived in Colorado long enough to be Bronco fans. Mark, they drove all the way from Fairplay, Breckenridge, to join us tonight. From Breckenridge. Longtime friends. We've known Mark since he was a little boy. And we met his wife Pam later. They run a ranch up there where people can come and stay and be refreshed. If you want to know about it, go talk to him. It's absolutely over the top for beauty. But we understand, and Mark used to come to our house with Craig, and we'd watch football games. Now, we'd go to church in the morning, I'd have dinner ready, and I'd dish up dinner and put it on the plates, and everybody would come to the family room and sit down and turn on the TV, and then the Broncos began to play. Everybody was sitting there, and if somebody made a great run, yes, oh yes, everybody would jump up and down, particularly my husband. But if they would make a bad play, they'd go, oh, for heaven's sakes, where's Elway? What is he doing? Oh my gosh. And you know, they'd be so attentive to this TV box. They weren't aware with it when I would come in and say, dessert is ready. Now, our family likes dessert. But they were so giving the attention to the TV box. Their undivided attention. How many people sit in front of a TV box and give that their undivided attention? How about those that are just totally grasped of sports, forsaking all, or other things? When in turn, God desires that we give him our undivided attention so that we could hear his voice. It says that I would want you to show you my ways. In Psalms 103, it says, the Israelites knew the deeds. That was the activities of God, the miracles and signs and wonders. Now, that's pretty nice. But Moses knew the ways of God. And I compare this scripture to Galatians 5:25. It says, if you are going to live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit. That means know the ways of God. It's like this in the Hebrew and in the Greek. God lays down a plan or a road, and you and the Holy Spirit walk in it. He says, I have the plans for you. If you will just be obedient and walk in these plans that I have for you. And he said, Moses knew my ways. To know the ways is to know the Father's heart. Yes? Yes. And so, how are you doing tonight? You good?
Yeah, I'm good.
Can I pray for you afterwards?
Sure. Absolutely.
Yes. Give, 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 and it'll be given unto you, pressed down, overflowing. You know Scripture well. Yes?
Yes.
Even if you have one of these little things. And so God says, let me hear your voice. Let me hear you. Let us join together and hear. In our studies, all the studies are based on John 10:27. My sheep hear, means to hear with the inner voice. I know, which is an intimate relationship. Gnosko, knowing like the father and son knew each other and like the marriage, husband and wife know each other. This is what God wants for us. Listen to what it says in Psalms 95. For he is our God. We are his people. He watches over the sheep under his care. Oh, that you would but listen to his voice today. The Lord says, don't harden your voice as the Israelites did. Jeremiah 22:21. I spoke to you when things were going well for you, but you said, I will not listen. This has been your way since you were young. You have not obeyed my voice. God is continually saying, obey my voice. Jeremiah 33, favorite scripture for many people. Call unto me and I will answer you and tell you great unsearchable things that you do not know. Now, I'd like to challenge you as a Christian, and I'm assuming most everybody's here is a Christian. If you have not, I say don't go home without him. It is the best thing that will ever happen to you. But when I says, call unto me, we do the calling, he does the answering, and he's going to show us great and unsearchable things that we do not know. Now, how can that be? How can that be?
He's God.
But what unsearchable things does he want to show us? Things that we don't normally know about. I have been learning, as I shared, been studying Greek, and not Greek, Hebrew and Aramaic. And a scripture that is familiar with us, to us all, when we look, go dig deeper into it in the Aramaic, it becomes unbelievable. I had to go dig deeper. I took a scripture which I normally knew and I had studied it in Hebrew and I got the lexicon out and I studied it. But now when I study it from an Aramaic, from under a rabbi's perspective, I go deeper into the heart of God. It is awesome. We skim the surface. Oh, show me unsearchable things that I do not know. Oh, he showed me today that tomorrow's going to rain. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about going deep into the presence of God, going deep into his heart. Now, my husband and I went to college together, and he studied chemistry. But he wasn't satisfied just studying chemistry. He decided he wanted to further his education and study nuclear chemistry. Well, you know, that's great. Go, just go for it. Most people are happy to study chemistry, but he wanted to go to graduate school and go deeper into his understanding of nuclear chemistry. Wow. He'd talk about shooting the atoms and the bombarding the protons and good for you. I didn't want to go that deep. But as a result of going that deep, he could go into places that you had to have security clearance. He was given wisdom and counsel that the normal person doesn't have. He doesn't like me to talk about it, but that's what we are as Christians. Don't settle just for the surface. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to go deeper inside of his word. Get a hold of some Aramaic. Get a hold of a rabbi who will teach you. Maybe you are. Get a hold of things and go deeper in his presence and watch him unfold amazing things about his heart. Oh my gosh, I love it. You know, you study about a man after God's own heart, and I think, well, that's good. I think about David, and he was God's man after his own heart. And then I think about John the Revelator. Golly, he was fantastic. He really knew God's heart, but who else wrote about Revelations? I mean, how many of you understand Revelation deeply? I don't. But John went deep with Jesus to get that information in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what God is wanting. I'm speaking to a church that I believe that wants to do that. Yes, amen. I look at all your pictures and all your things, and they reflect Jesus all over. And the gifts that you have here. And so we see that God desires that we hear his voice. We study his word and go deeper. Well, let's look at a few scriptures in Hebrews. Anybody have their Bible here with us today, tonight? Who has a Bible? Would you read Hebrews 3, 7, 15, and Hebrews 4, 17? And would you... Hebrews 3... Hebrews 3, 7, 15, 4, 7. Just read Hebrews 3. If you'd stand up so people can hear you, please.
So then, brethren, consecrated and set apart for God, who share in the heavenly calling... thoughtfully and attentively consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess as ours when we embrace the Christian faith. See how faithful he was to him, who appointed him apostles and high priest, as Moses was also faithful. I'm in the Amplified. It has extra. I can leave the extras out if
that
you want.
Would be good.
Yeah. Okay. As Moses, who was
today when you're here.
Okay. Where is that now? I lost it. Verse 7. Okay. Verse 7. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion and their provocation and embitterment in the days of testing in the wilderness.
Okay, look at the next scripture, 3:15. Would somebody read, Ann, could you read 3:15?
Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in rebellion.
Would you read 4:17?
I think you mean
4:7.
Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts.
Today. Three times. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. What does that say to us? Yesterday isn't good for today. Now, am I saying, put on your shawl and go into your prayer room and pray for several hours before you go out into public? I am challenging all of us to be so sensitive today so that today you hear his voice as you're going through life. As a Christian walking in his light, life, and love, today when you hear his voice, you can go up to somebody and say, how are you doing? And pray with them. Can I pray with you? I saw a lady today. She was looking at me. And I thought, I said, hi. How are you doing? We walked out and she was there standing, waiting for us, kind of like when we locked out. And I said, well, and she had a baby. How are you doing? And I just greeted her with love of Christ. We have to reflect Christ. Remember the saying, witness at all times, and if necessary, speak. We are to present the life, light, and Jesus. Hearing his voice. Being sensitive people and loving them. When we were ministering in Egypt, and we have several times over the years on teaching hearing God's voice, and we hear in Spain what is going on around the world that you don't hear in America. We listen to CNN and European news and... No, not CNN. European news and whatever. My husband knows. But anyway, we listen to the news that tells what's going on around the world. When we come back here, all we hear is what's going on in the States. We are with missionaries from around the world. And they are saying, God is moving. God is showing himself. We believe it's getting time for God to present himself in a position of revival. We believe that the Spirit of God, according to Joel 2:27 and 28 and 29, is going to pour out his Spirit. Is the church ready for that? Are we listening to God's voice? Are we preparing for the revival that is going to come across this nation? I honestly believe that we're going to see this. Are we prepared? Are our ears fine-tuned to hearing God? Who can I touch? I don't have to tell him Jesus is Lord. In fact, I met yesterday who is into the New Age big time. And I listened to her for a long time. And so I said, she said, what are you doing? I said, this is what I do. My life is different. I believe in Jesus Christ and we're on the mission field sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. She listened to me. I listened to her. I didn't say she was wrong and she didn't say I was wrong. But I expressed myself. It blessed her. I encouraged her. I didn't put her down because I'm a Christian. We too need to accept each other with the love of Christ and letting us, Holy Spirit, teach us. I'm sorry. So anyway, we're in Egypt. We know this is the only religion to have a relationship with the Father. And many of the people that were attending the YLM Bible School were ex-Muslims. And so when we would share about hearing God's voice,
It was sort of a foreign concept to them. And one young man came up to me and he says, I've been a Muslim all my life. I was raised in a Muslim family and I have just accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord. But when you talk about Father and loving the Father and hearing from the Father, I can't comprehend that. He says, I don't know what a loving Father is. And he wasn't the only one. And we said, Lord, how can we impart His love? You can talk about it. You can give kisses and hugs. And so I said, God, show us. So what we did at these DTSs, and we've done it in other places well, and we'll see how relaxed you are, because I'm going to make you do it if you are open to it. And we say, here's what you can do to get a love from the Father every day. I need two hands. Are you ready? Put your hand on one shoulder. Put your other hand on this shoulder. Now, give yourself a big hug. Good? Feel good? Let's do it again. Oh, yes. I am loved. If you're not loved by Jesus Christ and by the Father, you cannot love others. Period. You get so you experience His love, His passion, His joy. That's what oozes out of you. Every time they'd meet us, the students, and they got the point. You know, you guys are good. Most people do this. Looking to see if anybody else is doing it. You're good. Y'all participated. So, and then we see in Revelation, if we look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, 11, 17, 29, verse chapter 3, verse 6, 13, and 22, we see Jesus talking to the churches through John the Revelator. When Jesus would talk and share and teach on earth, He'd often speak in parables, and when he finished, he'd say what? What would he say when he'd finished telling this parable? Huh? He who has an ear, let him hear. He'd finish, he said, he who has an ear, let him hear what I'm saying. You know, Jesus was interesting. He only spoke what he heard the Father say. He only did the works that he saw the Father doing. So he said, he who has an ear, let him hear what I've just shared. Well, we look in Revelation and seven times it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And over, seven times, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. Now say it with me. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. He who has an
ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches.
He who has
an ear, let him hear.
Hey. I think some of us are deaf. He has an ear. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. We need to hear the Spirit of God. Amen. I just am so excited to see what God is doing in and through the churches today. I'm encouraged. We had a friend named Hanny, and he was Egyptian. He lived in Spain, and he became engaged to a woman that was from South Africa. And he got engaged, became engaged, and he wanted to go visit her. And he had to get a visa to get into South Africa, especially since he was Egyptian. So every day he would go to the visa department and he would say, is my visa ready? And they say, no, it's not ready. Come back tomorrow. He did this day after day, and time passed by and it was about ready for him to leave. He said he went to the Lord. He says, "Oh, Lord, please, I need my visas. I am leaving shortly. Help me." So he went to the department that gives out the visas, and he said, walks in, and they said, "Oh, Mr. Haney, hi." He looks at him and says, "Oh, here's your visa right here. Here's your visa. It's all ready for you. Just take it and go. Now go to the next counter and you pick up the next piece of document." He went to the next document and the guy says, "Oh, hi, Mr. Haney. Here's your visa. You can go." He went outside and he shook his head and he said, "Oh, my God. Thank you for answering my prayer. Wow." And God said to him, "Haney, I'm always speaking. You just don't listen." How much he wants to show his beloved. He wants to impart his love. He wants to show you great and searchable things. He wants you to spend time in his word and in his presence. He desires that. And we're all too busy chasing after other gods. Moses knew the ways because he spent time in the presence of God. Now we need and desire to see, to have spiritual eyes in these times. We need eyes that are open to see beyond the normal. We need to see people as God sees them. When we look at people from the outside, we usually judge. But when you ask God to give you spiritual eyes, to let see people, let you see him the way he sees people, you see people's hearts. If the church would do that, just think how much more love would go on in the church. How much less judgment would be happening. How less gossip and accusations. If we ask God for spiritual eyes, it breaks my heart to see that we are slumbering and we're not asking for more to hear, more hearing, and more eyes open to see what he's wanting to do and have us see as he sees people as he sees them. We know the parable of the sower in chapter 13 of Matthew. Would you read that, Anne? Matthew 13, 1 through 9.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered about him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, is this the right one? "A farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He who has ears, let him hear."
Now if you go down to 9 through 16.
"The disciples came to him and asked, 'Why do you speak to the people in parables?' He replied, 'The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand.'" Continue. "In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, 'You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving.
For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them.
If you'll go to Emmaus and Luke 10. You know, I don't want to be known of never hearing or never seeing. Do you know how easily hearts turn cold? I know people that have had a fiery walk with God. And then they start drifting away slowly. And all of a sudden, they've turned their attention to other gods, little gods. And pretty soon, those have their attention. And pretty soon, their hearts have hardened to the Spirit. Holy Spirit, beloved, is a person. He has a personality. He desires to teach us. He desires to dress us as the bride of Christ. He desires to be our paraclete. He desires to pray for us. He desires to come alongside of us and be our helper. He desires that we become more like Jesus. We cannot have fruitful lives without the work of the Holy Spirit. Our eyes will be covered over. Our hearts will become hardened unless we let the Holy Spirit come in and revive our hearts so we are on fire for Jesus, saying, I want spiritual eyes. I want spiritual ears. I want to hear and see what you are doing today, and I want to be a part of it. Amen? We desire desperately. We gave a teaching in Spain about a month or so ago. We're talking about walking in the Spirit. And, you know, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I've told my husband, I'm speaking to the choir. These people had been on the mission field for years. Half of the church have what they call home. They go to, hospitality, or they take care of people on the field. They're very educated. One couple had been a pastor, and then they went to be caregivers on the mission field to other missionaries. They're in that church. Another couple had been in Turkey for years, and they were in this church where others. And after we were through, we called for it, people that wanted to be prayed for. Now, believe me, if you think that people don't understand English, they understand the words of God. They understand it with a translator, but they understand the spirit behind it. So people that spoke Spanish came forward to be ministered to, and we believe in getting other people involved to ministry with us. So we'd pull them in, and other people would minister to them, and after everybody was gone, this pastor's wife came up to me and I said, oh, hi, Sue. How are you doing? She's a very precious woman. Ginny, will you pray for me? And I went, what? She says, will you pray for me? I said, Sue. She says, I just don't have what you're talking about. And I touched her, and I like to put my hand here where the spirit man is. And she was full of the Holy Spirit. And I go, Sue. She says, I just don't know how to move in the Spirit. I said, oh my. I was so shocked. Go, oh my, I don't. Yeah, I'll pray for you. Oh God, just release her. That's all I could say. Next morning, I got an email from a woman that had spent years on the mission field. Can I meet with you? Now, this woman is very bright. She's educated. They do training and equipment. They're group leaders for a certain mission organization. Would you spend time with me? It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit that they don't understand in them. They say, I want more understanding of how I am to you be used. I want eyes to see, ears to hear. I said, yes. I spent 3 hours with her, and we're going to get together when I get back. This is what God's want. This is what discipleship is all about. This is what God wants us to do in the church. Teach others to do the kingdom work. To teach others to teach others to teach others. So that you can go out filled with the life, light, and love of Jesus Christ. This is what it's all about. It's not about a personality. It's not about a ministry. It's not about the name of a church. It is about the revelation of the Holy Ghost in you and the love of God in you. And so we met and we enjoyed our time together. And her husband the next Sunday morning says, oh, I mean, he's a big to-do in this mission organization. He says, thank you so much for spending time with my wife. And I'm going, okay, thank you for the opportunity. We need to have hearts that are filled, burning. I'm always thinking of, when I think about burning hearts, I'm thinking about the disciples on the road to Emmaus. And would you read chapter 24, verses 13 through 16, and then go down to verse 31. Let me give you those scriptures again. Luke 24, verses 13 through 16.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you only a visitor to Jerusalem and do not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and their rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see."
Keep going. Verses 31 and 32.
"Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?'"
Were not our hearts burning? I know Mark and Pam built lots of fires for their guests. Maybe? No. Can you?
Some of them.
And I always think of fire and I think of the Holy Spirit. And I think of fanning those embers. I want to be on fire. I know, and you would agree with me, we do not want to miss what God has in store for us. We do not want to miss what he's doing in these times. I have a little video, short little clipping, they're going to show you right now.
Hey, so nice!
There you go.
Henry! Do you want me to, Nana?
Look who's over there.
Yeah! He's walking!
So, what have I missed?
You want to see that again? I think it's so cute. You want to see it again? Can we play it again?
Hey, so nice.
Look who's over there.
Yeah, he's walking.
So, what have I missed?
We don't want to miss what the Spirit of God is doing today, yes? I believe the little baby is the dancing Christian. We should, in spite of what's going on in the world, we should be having a good time, looking beyond the circumstance, and having spiritual ears and spiritual eyes, and being watchful and alert. Those are words that I wanted to go in, but due to the time, it's been an hour, and I believe that we need to be watchful in these times. And just to give you a Hebrew definition of being watch, it means to keep vigil as a devotional exercise. We need a devotional exercise to be alert, to be watchful. You know, it's very interesting to me that in Luke 3:15, everyone was expecting this Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John the Baptist was the Messiah. They were watchful. They were eager. How many times have you heard the church speak about Christ's second coming? How many times have you heard anybody about saying being watchful, being anticipating, being eager? We can continue. Do you know that there are 300 verses in the Bible that makes reference to Christ's second coming? 260 chapters that make reference to Christ's second coming? Every book in the New Testament except 1 John makes reference to the second coming. Did you know that for every one prophecy of God's Jesus' first coming, there are eight make reference to his second coming? We need to be having spiritual ears. We need to be in love with Jesus. We need to be passionate and be watching, attentive, alert, and sensitive to what God is doing in this time. Above all, we need to be so in love with Jesus. We need to have the passion as if we are a bride and bridegroom. I have kind of just waited to see how God wanted to end this. And I'm going to share a testimony about Dick and me. We were engaged for a year while he went to track down atoms and bombard protons. Okay, I lived away from him about 14 hours drive. He lived in Berkeley, California. I lived in Portland, Oregon. We went to school together in Salem. But when he went down to, after we became engaged, he went down to school to continue his graduate work, leaving me behind to go to school and work. We wrote each other every single day. Now that was before email. Before WhatsApp. Before it's chatting. This is putting a letter in the mailbox every day. Every day I would wait for his letter to come through the mailbox. And every day, faithfully, he wrote. Every day, I faithfully wrote. I'd immediately grab that letter and I'd rip it open. Oh my gosh. Oh, this is wonderful. It's so wonderful. Oh, he's so smart. He's learning so well. Oh, I love every word he said. I didn't understand it, but I loved it. And so we decided that once a week we'd call on the telephone. And so we would arrange on Friday night at 7 o'clock, he would call me. And said, okay. And I had a little sister 10 years younger than I. And if she loved to hassle me, she'd kind of flirt with the telephone and I would go into a rage. We weren't Christian in those times. And I'd say, you leave the phone alone. Dick's calling. So when he'd call, I'd pick up the phone and, hello? Oh, hi. Fine, how are you? Good. Now, mind you, we wrote every day.
Didn't have a lot to say on Friday nights. But to hear each other's voice was music to our ears. Once a month, he would drive from Berkeley to Portland to see me. In those days, we had no money. He had no money. He would go to the infirmary, and give a pint of blood so he could fill his gas tank to drive up to see me. For days before he'd come, I would work over my hair, my appearance, my looks. And the day that I thought he was going to arrive, we knew because we had kind of an arranged time, but I didn't know the exact time. I'd wait for him. I was working in an office at that time. And as soon as that door would open up, now we were in a public office. Ooh. Hi. I'm so glad to see you. We had a grin from here to here to see each other and to embrace each other. Mind you, we were not Christians at the time. It wasn't some time later that I became a Christian that God brought some revelation to that whole picture. The love letter he wrote to me, I'd open up every day, is his love letter to you and me. He should be opened every day. We should read it like it's, even if we don't understand it, we should read it like with the love that I had. I love reading his letters, though I didn't understand sometime what he was talking about. But I read them and I loved them. This word is God's love letter to you and me, and it's precious. And we should read it daily. Let it sink in our hearts. Let us have our spiritual eyes open. When he'd call on the phone, I recognized immediately it was his voice. One word, I knew it was his voice. My sheep hear my voice. They know me. I know them. They do not listen to the voice of a stranger. I recognized the voice of my beloved right away. And then when he'd come, I never knew exactly when he was going to arrive. And I'm reminded of the shed blood of Calvary. And I mean, that's not to put him on some kind of trip, but he gave his blood like Jesus gave his blood. He gave his blood that you and I might enter into the presence to prepare us for his son's second coming, so that we can come into fellowship and to know the Father's heart. He shed his blood, Jesus did, for you and me, for eternity. So that when we recognize, we don't know the signs or the times when Christ is going to return. But we need to be dressed with spiritual eyes, watch, eager, and spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches and to us. You know, I find it very interesting when the Holy Spirit speaks to me, He's speaking to the pastor the same thing, and I'll hear it again on Sunday if he's wanting to teach me something. How many of you experienced that? We have classes, and we have people that would sit in the class and say, have you heard Pastor so-and-so teach today? It's our lesson. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what is so delightful. They complement. They never compete. They complete each other for that we might be servants for the Most High God.
Yes.
We all love him so much. But great unsearchable things we still have ahead of us. And it's our desire, and hopefully your desire, to go deeper with him. Allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to you, having God to give you spiritual eyes, and a heart that's expectant, waiting and watching and preparing. Our son, this month, youngest son, was killed instantly and taken to the Lord. Many of you know that. This month is a hard month. But he had a sermon on Sunday and he had a sermon on Wednesday night. And the pastor at that time was led by the Spirit of God to teach on heaven. Thursday morning, he left home, and within 15, 20 minutes, his car flipped and he was killed. We do not know when Christ is going to return. We do not know when our lives may... Since that time, I've come to realize, we've come to realize, to live a life to the fullest extent for Jesus Christ. We don't care anymore. What more can you lose? You let God use you as if today is it and tomorrow's heaven. And either way we win. I pray in Jesus' name that what we have said tonight has touched your hearts. And it's not just been a show. It's been from a God's heart, I pray, because that's our heart. And he wants all of us to have his heart and his passion in everything we do, in work, in life, in family, in loving. Brother, are you ready? Can we pray for you later? Kidney, we pray for you later. Thank you so much. Thank you for being so attentive. And we would like to take some time to pray with anyone, all of you, whatever. If some will say, well, I don't have any prayer. If you want us just to lay hands up and stir up the embers of that fire within you, we're open to do that, or just pray to say we love you. Thank you so much, and God bless you.
So I just want to give you all an opportunity to sow into Zoe Ministries. It'd really honor us. So we're just going to make it super simple. There's a bucket right under the lamp over there. On your way out, feel free to go ahead and drop something in there. If you make a check, make it out to Zoe Ministries. Is that it? Just Zoe Ministries, not Living Word. Okay? That should be simple. So I give back over to you guys. However, you want to do you want to like kind of get up here and if you guys would like personal ministry or prayer, feel free to come up. Otherwise, thanks so much for coming today, and bless you. You're dismissed.